Maya, what do you think?
I really wanted a flat in a brownstone on Riverside Drive, Dolly.
But life has offered you a one-bedroom apartment on Central Park West in a brand new building. What do you say?
Well, I could paint it all white.
Indeed. And look at that view of the park.
Dolly McPherson and I were becoming good friends. Obviously, we never revealed to anyone that we met because we had been involved, though we did not know it at the time, with the same man. We knew one day we would get our revenge, but we didn't bargain on it being quite so soon.
Hello?
Shekali, telephone from Ghana.
I am not coming for you this time, Omaya. Now I am convinced that you do not love Africa. You do not love Ghana or Mali. I am not coming for you. I am coming to teach at one of your important universities. But I will bring you something, eh? You are so American now. Would you like a car?
Why would you bring a car from Ghana? I'm living in New York. That's just down the road from Detroit. That's where they make cars.
Your tongue is too sharp. I've told you time and time again, you must watch out for your tongue.
My tongue was all the weapon I had. He had the stature, the money, but I had a secret weapon.
I shall stay with the administrator at the university, but I'd like to see you just for 2 hours. I'd like you to invite some people I've not seen since my last visit.
How many should I prepare for?
A few. About 10.
At least 20, then.
I'd be pleased to have them in my place. When are you planning to come?
I'll be in New York on Friday. Can you see me then?
Oh, Friday? Yes.
Around 3?
3 is fine.
It was short notice, but there would be enough time. I hugged myself with delight and phoned Dolly. We splurged on a bottle of good Spanish sherry.
He's coming with some diplomats. We shall have to be careful.
He would never imagine that we'd meet. But I know you don't want to embarrass him.
I certainly do want to embarrass him, but to himself, not to others. I have to get him back for describing me to you as an old American Negro who lets rooms.
What about Dolly is very, very old, but very intelligent?
We must make him sweat, if only for a minute. He's got to sweat. Now, I think you should arrive just before 4 p.m. That will give time for him and his friends to arrive.
The sight of him at my door made me lean against the jamb. He, too, was rocked back on his heels.
Maya.
Shekali.
He was as beautiful and as black as ever. We held ourselves in check as his escort entered close behind him.
This way, gentlemen.
Within minutes, many more of his colleagues arrived, and my living room was furnished with people in rich robes and colorful caftans. At exactly 4:05, I quietly went to the front door and unlocked it, then rejoined the conversation.
Excuse me, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but I have a burning question I've been meaning to ask, and I know you can answer.
What do you want to know?
Well, will you speak of fidelity? Is the African man more faithful than the European man? And what makes him so?
That is a lady's question. But having said that, it still deserves being answered.
I might have kicked him had I not tasted the promised revenge on my tongue.
The African man is more faithful than the European, not because he loves his woman more than the European loves his woman, but because he loves himself more. You see, the African man is supposed to know where he is at all times. If he's in the wrong place, he knows that, and he has to leave.
Hello there.
It took him a second to register her face, and another to remember where he was. He looked at me. Did I see her too? Did I know who she was? How did she get here?
Won't you stand for me?
He bounded out of his chair like a man half his age.
Miss McPherson. Of course, it's Miss McPherson.
You can still call me Dolly.
Of course. Dolly, how have you been? You've heard about what has been going on in Ghana, yes?
Dolly, come to the kitchen, please. We'll be right back.
He didn't know what to do. Do you think any of the other guests had any idea?
Certainly not. You were a pretty woman greeting a handsome man you had known somewhere else. Known in the biblical sense.
Oh, girl, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Maya, I must be going. My host needs to go to an appointment. Miss McPherson, Dolly, you must tell me how you two met. But I shall need a second of your time, Maya. May we go in here?
We walked into my bedroom.
Maya, you are in danger.
What?
You have become someone I don't know in New York. Did I ever try to make you a laughingstock in Ghana?
No, but most of the time you treated me as if I were an empty-headed flunky.
I may have been wrong, but at least I was being myself. This setup here is beneath you. You have tried to belittle me. That is beneath the Maya I know and still love.
I had meant to prick him, not to pierce him. I saw the hurt and embarrassment in his face.
Coney Bra, go and come.
I knew he would never come again. Dolly was looking as crestfallen as I.
Well, sister, we couldn't swallow the big cat easily. He seems to have stuck in our throat.
Yes, I know.
James Jimmy Baldwin, all 5'4" of him, was a whirlwind who stirred everything and everybody. He lived at a dizzying pace, and I loved spinning with him. We had just spent an afternoon talking and drinking with a group of white writers.
44th Street off Broadway. What I like about you, Maya, is that you can hold your own.
What do you mean?
You can hold your liquor and still talk eloquently on Edgar Allan Poe and Willa Cather and ask serious questions with whoever.
Why, thank you, Jimmy. Though I still think you're wrong about Eldridge Cleaver.
You can't separate Cleaver from the Black Panthers. He is their general.
Huey Newton is their general. Cleaver is just a loudmouth foot soldier.
The Black Panthers had earned respect in the Afro-American community. They had started a school where the students were given free breakfasts and professional tutoring. People were happy to see them stride through their neighborhood like conquering heroes. Eldridge Cleaver had spent time in prison and had joined the Panthers later. He wrote a collection of essays on race whilst in prison, entitled Soul on Ice, which was published after his release to critical acclaim.
Oh, you don't like Cleaver because you don't like what he said about me in his book. You can't stand hearing anyone insult or even talk about your friends.
His fine hands flew around in the air like dark birds.
You couldn't be more right.
Cabby, stop here.
We arrived at a very seedy-looking hotel.
It's sleazy, I know that, but I used to hang out here years ago. I come here a lot of times when I want to think.
The dimly lit room reeked of spilled beer and urine. Jimmy led me straight to the bar.
Baby, you order the drinks. I've got to make a phone call.
2 scotches, please.
James Baldwin, whose writing challenged the most powerful country in the world, who had sat down with the president, who spoke French as if he had grown up on the streets of Montmartre, came to this dank dive to think. I was absorbed in that thought. I looked up to see a huge man standing about an inch away.
Well, let me buy you a drink.
I'm with someone.
Well, he's not your husband.
And how did you come to that conclusion?
He's one of those, you know...
He stuck out his arm with a limp wrist.
What I do know is that I am with him. So you'd better go back to your seat before he comes back.
Are you sure you don't want that drink?
Ah, you've been looking after her for me, haven't you? Thank you, you son of a bitch. Now you are dismissed.
My jaw dropped. It dropped further when...
All right. I'll take it easy.
The man turned and walked meekly away.
Now listen, Maya. I know you say you hate Cleaver, but he is a thinking black man, and he's in trouble because he's talking about what he thinks.
What he wrote about your homosexuality in his stupid book was so vulgar.
Soul on Ice is an important book. You have to remember the son always kills the father.
What Cleaver wrote about you was a hatchet job on you, on your character, not a critical evaluation of your work.
Sometimes people assail the homosexual because they think by flailing the gay boy, they can reduce that same tendency they suspect in themselves.
I'm just afraid for you supporting roughnecks like Cleaver.
Grow up. I am a roughneck too. Being black and my size on the streets of Harlem will make a choir boy a roughneck. But I didn't bring you here to talk about the Black Panthers. There's going to be a concert at Carnegie Hall. I've got a box for the family and close friends, and I'd like you to come.
It was 1968, and to mark the 100th anniversary of the birth of the great black intellectual, activist, and historian W.E.B. Du Bois, there was to be a big concert, with Pete Seeger singing and Ozzie Davis and Jimmy spearing up the audience, concluding with,
"Ladies and gentlemen, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King."
He was there, smiling, nodding, waving a hand, an average size, average looking, average black man upon whom hung the dreams of millions. He paid tribute to Dr. Du Bois.
"Let me take you to the 19th century, into the mind of a young man who had been born black only a few years after abolition of the slave trade, yet whose exquisite intelligence and courage allowed him to become the first African-American to earn a doctorate from Harvard University in 1895.
We listeners bonded resolutely.
Dr. Du Bois had included all of us, no matter our color, status, or age, into his dream of a fair and workable future.
People rose to their feet. Each time I looked, more had risen. So by the time Reverend King said his last word, everyone was standing, and the mood was more joyous than ever. After the concert, I was walking with Jimmy's family down the corridor when Dr. King appeared.
Maya, I wanted to talk to you. What are you doing now?
Well, I'm writing a play at the moment.
Can you put a bookmark on a page and give me 1 month of your time? This poor people's march we are girding up for is not a black march or a white march. This is a poor people's march. I want us to stay in Washington, D.C. until legislation is passed that will reduce the poverty of our rich country. We may have to build tent cities, and if so, I want to be able to do that.
But what can I...
I need someone to travel this country and talk to black preachers. I'd like each big church to donate one Sunday's collection to the Poor People's March. I need you, Maya, to do it.
Why?
And when anyone accuses me of just being nonviolent, I can say, well, I don't know. I got Maya Angelou back with me.
Fine. I'll do it. But only after my birthday, after April 4th. I plan to throw one hell of a party before I head south.